Bama Beat. From the sports desk of the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. Now, the Bama Beat Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bama Beat. I'm Ben Jones, back from vacation on the last week, and I'm here with Cecil Hurt the day after the NBA draft. Cecil, how's it going?
Great. Interesting week.
Yeah.
This week, while you were away, enjoying the beauties of Kentuckiana.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like I missed very much. I was back in time for the NBA draft last night to see Colin Sexton.
Right. Well, it depends on you know, there have been things going on. There's College World Series and World Cup and things to watch. But, of course, there's no College World Series or World Cup here in Tuscaloosa, so it's been pretty quiet here.
Yeah. I don't even know if I wanted to go and watch a World Cup game at 9 in the morning where I would go here. In Tuscaloosa, I'm sure there are places that are open up. Maybe Innisfree.
Yeah, if Mexico's playing, some of the restaurants just go on and open up. And
yeah,
get some huevos rancheros and enjoy pulling for El Tri. We have a German bakery over here in Terminal Square. The ladies might let you come in.
I'm sure they pack it out,
but it's not like. You know, for better and worse, it's not like being in New York where you have huge communities. But I do have always, for several World Cups, enjoyed going to one of the Mexican restaurants and watching Mexico and, you know, watching the crowd reaction and so forth.
Yeah. Just in general, I appreciate having the World Cup during the summer. Like, I appreciate having the Summer Olympics because it, you know, once every 4 years kind of sustains us through a time period where there's not a whole lot going on in the college sports world.
I do, and it's just – and this really wasn't the topic we were going to get on, but it's just murderous that they're going to have it in the fall next time when they have it in Qatar.
I'll pay zero attention.
Yeah, that's the problem. One of a multitude of problems of having it there is that it'll be during football season and Americans have other things to do. I mean, you might flip it on a Wednesday morning, but no way you'll get it. You know, you'll watch it. You know, part of watching it is to get involved in the storylines and pick a team and so forth. It's not just, it's not just a one-off thing. You sort of follow the whole thing. And I'll be perfectly honest, given whether I'll be around in 2022 or not, I'm not going to have time for that in October. It's just not going to work that way. Same thing happened when they had the Summer Olympics in September in Australia or wherever they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't have time. That's just not the way that our business is structured or my fan interest is structured. And that's not saying that soccer's bad and college football's good. It's just saying you can only, if you really follow as a fan or as a journalist, you've only got so much attention span and only so much time in a day.
Yeah. And I don't think that the rest of the world is going to move its soccer schedule to accommodate SEC fan bases.
College football is but to you know, in the Southeast or the Midwest, college football is what the World Cup is if you're in Uruguay or you know, Denmark.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that all the folks out there were tuning in to hear us talk about World Cup for 4 minutes. But in any event, the NBA draft was last night. Colin Sexton went 8th overall to the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's the third highest for any Alabama basketball player ever. Leon Douglas in, I think it was 1976, went 4th overall, and Antonio McDice was it 2nd overall?
Mac was 2nd. He was 2nd, then they traded him, but he was 2nd.
In 1995.
Joe Smith was 1st that year, so Mac could have been 1st. That was an interesting draft. It was a good draft. Kevin Garnett went 4th out of high school. Oof. So that would have been, you know, your 20-year hindsight pick would have been to, take Garnett, but he was coming out of high school and went fourth. And Mac had a good career. North Carolina had Jerry Stackhouse and
Joe Smith played for forever.
Joe Smith played many, many years. Michael Finley was in that draft. Mm-hmm. So it was a good draft, and Mac's one of that group of players. But, you know, if you went back and restructured that draft, you'd take Garnett first.
Yeah. One thing I don't know if I saw mentioned on Twitter last night during the draft, and I wasn't necessarily glued to Twitter. I was doing some other stuff. But obviously both Dice and Leon Douglas were post players, kind of back-to-back guys, which makes Colin Sexton the highest ever drafted guard from the University of Alabama.
Right, Watley had been that. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be interesting to see how it works out for him. I don't think there's anybody that was drafted last night as they meet their new teams today who could be less certain of what their future team is going to be. You know, whether Colin doesn't know because of LeBron's situation, whether he's playing for a playoff contender or a team that's going to be rebuilding. You know, if you're DeAndre Ayton, you kind of understand where you are, or if you're Trae Young, you kind of understand where you are. But for Colin, it could be one of two things, and he just won't know until next week.
Yeah, I think it's June 29th is the date by which LeBron has to opt out.
I think that's right. Yeah.
So today is the 22nd, so it'll be exactly 1 week as we're recording this podcast. You know, Friday about midday.
Fortunately, there won't be much coverage of that. ESPN won't go into 24-hour LeBron watch mode. Actually, they probably will.
They certainly will. Where were you during the decision in, it was 2010, right?
Yeah, I don't really remember sitting down and what. I was here. I mean, I was in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. But that did not, you know, that is not going to rank alongside the JFK assassination with me remembering exactly where I was at the time. It's a big deal. I understand that. You know, he did
the TV special
and wore the plaid shirt and all that. But it didn't alter my world that he went to the Miami Heat and, you know, played well down there and good for them.
Yeah. I was in college at that point. I had a summer internship in Minnesota and was staying at a house in Minneapolis where we didn't have a TV. So I was just sitting there trying to figure out what was happening on Twitter. And I remember, I'm pretty sure that Twitter crashed for the duration of the TV special. I don't think it was up until the whole thing was over. So I had to text someone to find out what had happened, who'd been watching it on TV.
Right. They played it up and it was dramatic, and then a little less so when he came back to Cleveland. But
the effect that LeBron James has on the NBA, and now effect that he'll have on Colin Sexton's future.
And, right, and it's what the NBA has been built on. You know, the NBA went from a popular but not international sport based on Michael Jordan, and either you can call it star power or cult of personality or whatever you want to call it.
The Dream Team, obviously.
Yeah, the Dream Team was a big part of that. But again, that was part of Michael Jordan. I was overseas in 1992 and 1993, and there were parts of the world in Indonesia and so forth where if you asked them to name an American, the first name they would have come up with was Michael Jordan. You know, that's just, you know.
Mickey Mouse.
I'm literally on an island in the Pacific with about 5,000 people, and there are kids who have a general purpose ball. It's not really certainly not a Spalding regulation basketball, and they're shooting on a Michael Jordan goal. You know, he's the famous Nike logo is on that backboard.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kids who spoke no English, but they knew who Michael Jordan was.
Yeah. Now, I don't follow the NBA day to day, but obviously pay a little bit of attention to it once the playoffs get here. Unless I'm wrong, it was George Hill and J.R. Smith who were the Cavaliers starting guards by the end of the season, right?
Right. They did not have a ball handling guard.
Yeah. George Hill kind of has some point guard ability, but probably not all that different of a player from Colin Sexton in that he's not a Rajon Rondo or a Steve Nash type point guard who's going to end up with 10 assists a game.
Right. Here's the first thing, and Colin's going to get this, and it's not fair, but let's be clear. He's not Kyrie Irving.
Right.
That doesn't mean he can't be a great player, because Colin can be a great player, but he just has a different skill set than Kyrie Irving has. So people who you know, and frankly, even in his rookie year, Kyrie Irving wasn't what Kyrie Irving became later.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know now if Kyrie Irving will continue to be
right.
What Kyrie Irving was.
First of all, I don't know, you know, what Colin considers the shape of the earth to be. But secondly, he just has a different skill set. He's not a pass first guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Avery Johnson. You know, that's what that in particular is what Avery was a, you know, set up Robinson, set up Duncan, pass first point guard. But that doesn't mean that Colin doesn't have skills, that including ball handling skills and an ability to get the ball over the timeline in 3 or 4 seconds that the Cavaliers didn't really have this year.
Mm-hmm.
Part two, does Colin Sexton alone suddenly make you capable of beating the Warriors? There's a lot of other things that have to go into that. So, we shall see. With that said, I think he's a good pick for him. I was a little surprised, and it may work out for him, but I was surprised that Atlanta went all in on Trae Young the way that they did. I'll be interested to see what they think about that move in 5 years.
Yeah, in particular, as several people pointed out last night, because Colin Sexton is from
the local kid.
Yeah. Not that you draft a guy because he's from where your franchise is, whether he's from Alaska or not.
The 76ers showed that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Draft Bridges out of Villanova, bring his mom, everybody's hugging, and, you know, she works for the team. And what, they traded him in 15 minutes later. By the way, you're going to Phoenix. It's a business. It is a business.
They were very happy for 15 minutes.
Yeah, so. They were. They were, but there are some... there are some advantages to being in Phoenix over Philadelphia, too. So,
yeah.
The weather, for one.
In any event, I'm not sure that actually having a ball-handling guard or a pass-first guard is what Cleveland would want, particularly if LeBron stays, because LeBron is a player who just dominates the ball so much. Doesn't dominate it in the way that other players might, because LeBron obviously does pass the ball a lot, averages 7-8 assists a game. But I don't know if you need another primary ball handler
right.
when you already have LeBron James.
Right, and LeBron is not, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, where he's going to post up down there and you got to pass him the ball. LeBron can create his own shot in many ways. So it'll be an interesting opportunity. But there's just no way to speculate on how Colin fits in with a team when you don't know what that team is going to be for another week.
Mm-hmm. There was some discussion probably on both sides about Colin's defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that anyone would have said that he was an excellent defender in college, but I think there was probably, at least in the evaluations of him, people were hopeful that he would be an NBA-level defender, that he's not going to be a liability
right.
at that level.
Right.
I think some of that probably comes from some of the guys that were around him in Alabama. Herbert Jones, Dante Hall, really excellent college
right.
defenders.
Right.
So you don't necessarily need to have your primary scorer wearing himself out, guarding the other team's best guy.
Right.
At the same time, he does have really good athletic ability to stay in front of guys and match up against NBA-caliber offensive players. How do you think he fits in at that level in the NBA, or how would you have evaluated him?
Here's how I would evaluate Colin. He is not a great defender, but he is a good athlete who is a willing defender.
That's a good way to put it.
So that's where I would that's where I would put him. Is he going to go out there and shut down Westbrook? No, you know, that's just hard to do.
Yeah.
but can you fit him into a team defensive concept? And he'll try and learn that and be strong enough and be durable enough to do what you ask him to do at his size. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. Now, we talked mainly about how Colin fits in with Cavaliers if LeBron were to stay. There's also a lot of people who think that LeBron is gone already.
Right, possible.
Yeah. If LeBron is not there, then you would assume that they blow it up. There's not really any reason to have some veterans like George Hill, J.R. Smith on your roster at all. It's just a matter of whether you can unload enough guys.
It's just economic.
Man. Yeah.
Just when you can get their contracts off of your books.
Yeah. In that case, Colin maybe becomes the face of the franchise or one of the faces of the franchise, depending on whether they keep a guy like Kevin Love almost immediately, you know.
Right, right. But it'll be a, you know, entirely different set of goals. In the East, you can still make the playoffs. I don't know that they would plummet, you know, to the very...
Yeah, depending on who they unload.
The like very Brooklyn depths of the NBA East. But it would be a different, it'd be a different situation entirely.
I think if that situation were to play out, it would not surprise me to see him contend for the scoring title among rookies if he were to be an 18-point-a-game scorer as a rookie or something, depending on how much they play him.
That wouldn't surprise me. The one thing I will say, if that's the scenario that plays out, you're not going to see Colin on TV nearly as much as you are.
Well, yeah.
if LeBron decides to stick around.
Yeah. We did see a lot of Avery Johnson on TV last night and in the last two or three days leading up to the draft. He made kind of a big show of being able to be there, being at the draft, being kind of part of the process for Colin. Seemed like that was obviously part of a plan that Alabama was playing out in the weeks leading up to the draft.
It was, and it's a perfect fit for Avery because he's a recognizable, quotable guy who those even more than and certainly John Calipari was there, Jay Wright was there, Tom Izzo was there, and they get their share of attention. But I think in some ways Avery's still identified as an NBA guy. You know, he played, he coached. You know you're going to get a sound bite. You know you're going to get a quote when you go to him. From that particular PR standpoint, far better to go to Cleveland, which is a story, you know, national story. Everybody keeps up with the Cavs and what's going on for the reasons we've talked about than it is to go to Charlotte.
Yeah.
The Clippers. Now, had Cleveland passed on him, he might have gone to the Knicks with the next pick, which would also have been a big media opportunity. But, no, I think Avery
I'm not sure it's in anyone's best interest to go to the Knicks, though.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Knox, I like Knox. I think he'll be a pretty good pick for him.
The Knicks fans there did not like Kevin Knox.
Well, yeah, or Porzingis or, you know.
Yeah.
I think what people, some in Cleveland, some in New York, but, you know, they all got enamored with Michael Porter, who is a – you know, Michael Porter could be the next, I hesitate to say Kevin Durant, but he could be, you know, that kind of player. Or he could be the next Greg Oden. You know, you just don't know.
Kind of like Marvin Williams when he went second overall out of North Carolina. Gosh, that was over 10 years ago, though. So
you just don't know.
Yeah. One other thing that I noticed watching the draft and the coverage leading up to it was that Alabama seemed to do a really good job of putting Colin Sexton out there and kind of attaching themselves to him and making him a part of their identity, kind of using him as a recruiting tool. Because this is one of the things with these one and done players is that you only have them as a part of your program for 1 year. And so you want to maximize kind of your time with those guys and your association with those guys. And I think Alabama did a really good job of that in the week or so leading up to the draft in particular.
Well, you do. You want to be identified with the programs that have one and dones. You saw at the draft, as we said, John Calipari's there, Jay Wright's there. Tom Izzo's there, and Avery Johnson's there. And part of that is to identify oh, look, there's Duke, there's Villanova, there's Michigan State, there's Alabama. You want to be in that frame. So another thing, this is prime time for recruiting for basketball calendar with the AAU tournaments and so forth going on. And guys pay attention to that stuff. They look at it. They are not by any stretch of the imagination the only program over at the Alabama Athletic Complex that uses their success on draft day to promote the interests of their program in terms of recruiting.
Yeah. Have a lot of experience on the football side of things doing that for about the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, they highlight the draft choices. They certainly highlight the signing bonuses. and have been great at marketing that. It's not so much the one player, the one superstar, you know, at Alabama. It's that, look how many guys we've got. This is going to be your best shot. But memory short, you know, prospects don't remember that it's been 10 years since an Alabama player got drafted. When Avery, I'm not going to say he's going to go negative, but if you've got a rival, and Alabama's got a couple in recruiting this year, I hadn't had players drafted in a long time. And you mentioned that probably a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see any of their guys get drafted.
In the top 10, yeah.
Yeah, in the top 10. And so, you know, it really worked out well because Colin was in such a high profile. Cleveland's such a recognizable name,
yeah,
and so forth, as we've said.
Yeah. So one more question about the draft here. Who would you say is the next Alabama basketball player to be drafted, which means presumably being the first guy drafted next season,
right?
Or if no one is drafted in 2019, then who's the first guy drafted in 2020?
Right. Next year's draft is not as strong, I don't think, as this year's draft. I think they're probably half a dozen, particularly the big guys, who would have been the number one draft choice in 2019, who were in this draft. I think if Bagley hadn't reclassified or if Ayton had stayed, Bamba, Doncic, Porter, if he came back and showed he was healthy, those guys would be number one pick next year. I don't think there's any question about that unless somebody emerges with mm-hmm. some kind of superstar year. There's just not that size athlete in abundance next year, and it's not a great year in Europe either. There's not some European guy that's going to come over and be that guy. So it's a weaker draft next year. I think for Alabama, if you liked Robert Williams, who made it into the first round for the Celtics, then you'd like Dante Hall. Dante's not as explosive a rebounder as Robert, but he has some other abilities and can continue to grow. If he makes as much progress over the next season, the upcoming season, as he made last season, he'll be in the mix to be drafted somewhere. Maybe not in the first, but in the second. I think the guy that's got first round potential is Herb Jones, because Herb can do a lot of the things that we talked about earlier in terms of he can guard anybody, he can handle the ball, he can create, he's a multiple position player offensively and defensively, just needs to shoot the ball better. And then we'll see with Tevin Mack. We'll see. He'd have a possibility, I think, but let's see how he plays next year.
Yeah. So since we started this with the World Cup conversation, let's get out of here with a World Cup question.
Uh-huh.
If Alabama football were a World Cup nation, which one would you say lines up most closely with them?
Probably Germany.
That was going to be my suggestion too, yeah.
I think, you know, the process-oriented.
Strong defense.
Strong defense. Don't have the...
Not
the,
built around an exceptional striker,
right,
or
right.
The individual
Brazil,
star power.
You know, Brazil or Argentina would be the
probably a USC or Notre Dame.
USC, yeah. And then Portugal with Ronaldo It's like Texas A&M was with Manziel. You know, they can beat anybody. They're really not. I mean, they hadn't been a superpower, but they've got the best player. And clearly the best player. So they can beat anybody. They're almost. In fact, you almost go out of college football for Portugal and say they're the Cavaliers. Mm. They're the would be average, nobody ever heard of. Who are they? Except they've got the best player.
How about Georgia being England? Very talented. Yeah, never an easy win, underachieved over the last 25 years.
And just fans that simultaneously are enamored with their past achievements, whatever they might have been, and yet somehow also deep in their hearts know that it's just not going to work out. You know, something's going to happen. Something will happen. You could make that. You can make that comparison. It's tough to do.
Yeah.
Those one-on-ones.
Maybe we call Ohio State Italy because they both got left out this year. But
possibly.
They've won championships relatively
possibly.
Recently.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And I don't know who. I guess Iceland would be like Northwestern. They're not going to win it all, but you're like, man, they're really making do with these guys that they have, and they're good guys, and good for them. So, it's a fascinating. People love to do things like that. But yeah, I would if you said you've got to say one team is Alabama, I'd say Germany.
Yeah.
Everybody else hates them, too. That's the, everybody else pulls for them to lose just because of they're the favorite, and people like to see the favorite lose.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to leave it. So enjoy your vacation next week, Cecil.
Okay. Thank you. I'll watch the World Cup.
Yeah. You'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah. And when I get back, we will be
three weeks from
Atlanta.
Less than that, isn't it? I think it's July 15 to 19.
Oh, 15 to 19. So, 2 weeks. Thank you. Thank you for correcting that.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how that goes. Alabama hadn't announced their players yet, I don't think.
No, they've not.
Bet the house on Damian Harris.
Yes. Yeah.
you can count on Damian Harris being there. Who else will be there, I don't know. But you can just about guarantee that that Damian will be there. The defensive player will be interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to roll the dice on Mac Wilson or not. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. We'll get you out of here so your vacation can start. We'll have Tommy back in here next week. He was on vacation this week. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you, man.